And for today, the sutta we're going to look at is the Ananya Sutta, which is from the Anguttara Nikaya, Book of 4, verse Sutta 62, translated by Bhikkhu Bodhi. We will first have a read-through of the sutta, following which Bhante will give an exposition and explanation of the sutta. Then the householder Anathapindika approached the Blessed One. The Blessed One said to him, "Householder, there are these four kinds of happiness that may be achieved by a lay person who enjoys sensual pleasures depending on time and occasion. What four? The happiness of ownership, the happiness of enjoyment, the happiness of freedom from debt, and the happiness of blamelessness. And what, householder, is the happiness of ownership? Here, a clansman has acquired wealth by energetic striving, amassed by the strength of his arms, earned by the sweat of his brow, righteous wealth righteously gained. When he thinks, I have acquired wealth by energetic striving, righteously gained, he experiences happiness and joy. This is called the happiness of ownership. And what is the happiness of enjoyment? Here, with wealth acquired by energetic striving, amassed by the strength of his arms, earned by the sweat of his brow, righteous wealth righteously gained, the clansman enjoys his wealth and thus meritorious deeds. When he thinks, with wealth acquired by energetic striving, righteously gained, I enjoy my wealth and do meritorious deeds, he experiences happiness and joy. This is called the happiness of enjoyment. And what is the happiness of freedom from debt? Here, a clansman has no debts to anyone, whether large or small. When he thinks, I have no debts to anyone, whether large or small, he experiences happiness and joy. This is called the happiness of freedom from debt. And what is the happiness of blamelessness? Here, a householder, a noble disciple, is endowed with blameless bodily, verbal, and mental action. When he thinks, I'm endowed with blameless bodily, verbal, and mental action, he experiences happiness and joy. This is called the happiness of blamelessness. These are the four kinds of happiness that a layperson who enjoys sensual pleasures may achieve, depending on time and occasion. Having known the happiness of freedom from debt, one should recall the happiness of ownership. Enjoying the happiness of enjoyment, a mortal then sees things clearly with wisdom. While seeing things clearly, the wise one knows both kinds of happiness. The other is not worth a 16th path of the bliss of blamelessness. This is from Anguttara Nikaya, Book of 4, Sutta 62, translated by Bhikkhu Bodhi. And now we invite Bhante to share with us the meaning and depth of this sutta. Bhante, please.
Friends, Buddha's teaching can be broadly applied by two groups of people. First group of people, they are the ones who are ready to go beyond the domain of sensual pleasure. The other group of people, they are the ones who still wish to remain in the domain of the sensual pleasure. The teachings of the Buddha cater for these two groups of people. Let's take a little bit of time to understand these two aspects before we proceed with this sutta. Who are the people ready to go beyond the domain of sensual pleasure? This is the minority group. When we take the Buddhist population, perhaps they are not even counted as 1%. Generally speaking, these minority groups include monks and nuns. These monks and nuns have only a spiritual goal. They do not have a material goal. They should be ready to let go any material possession and completely satisfied with whatever food they receive. They should be satisfied with whatever clothes that they receive. They should be satisfied with whatever lodgings and whatever the medicine. These are the basic requisites. These basic requisites are needed to sustain the body. Then they should be ready to spend rest of the time to cultivate the Noble Eightfold Path vigorously, and they have to be abided by very strict disciplinary codes of ethics and cultivate their ethical, spiritual, and intellectual faculties in order to go beyond the domain of sensual pleasure by completely destroying craving itself. So this group of people, they are the minority. So the Buddha's teaching is specifically designed for these people in the highest sense of the words. And they are cultivating to attain enlightenment in this life itself by realizing the Four Noble Truths. However, Buddha also cater and teach to the other group of people. They are also equally important. So this is the majority of the people, the followers of the Buddha, who perhaps maybe 98 or 99% of the population. Generally speaking, they are the lay disciples of the Buddha. These people, they are not ready to go beyond the sensual craving, but they still wish to remain in the domain of the sensual pleasure. Buddha specifically designed his teaching for these people in a gradual approach. So for this group of people, Buddha teach a very systematic path, gradually progressive, and eventually leading towards enlightenment in long term. However, Buddha recommend three goals for them. First goal is to achieve well-being and happiness in this present life itself. So since these are the lay disciples of the Buddha, they usually will get married, have children, they have to live in the community, and they have social obligations. So Buddha teach in many discourses how lay disciples of the Buddha achieve both material and spiritual wealth and live as decent human beings. So Buddha's teachings related to economic prosperity, social integrity, and the people-friendly governments, how we can live as decent human beings by achieving wealth and enjoying our sensual pleasure, yet living as decent human beings. There are many discourses, hundreds of suttas, Buddha directly teach the lay people how they can enjoy sensual pleasure at the same time cultivate their spiritual faculties. So the first goal for the lay people is to achieve well-being and happiness in this life itself. Buddha also encouraged them to have another goal, interim goal, second goal. The interim goal is to win a favorable rebirth. They are encouraged to focus and train themselves to be born in a higher realm, either in the plane of human beings or in the divine realm. So for that end, Buddha encouraged lay people to refrain from evil and do merits. This is the second goal, because once they are born in a pleasurable, favorable realm, they can still enjoy sensual pleasure, but they also can practice the Dhamma and they can cultivate further gradually. Then the third goal, even though it is a distant goal, is nothing lesser or lower but the highest spiritual perfection, which is the enlightenment. So the last goal for the lay disciples of the Buddha is still the same enlightenment, but the path is a graduated path and a step-by-step process. So for the lay people who still wish to remain in the domain of sensual pleasure, Buddha recommend these three goals and way of practicing how to achieve these goals in time to come. The discourse that we have selected today belongs to this category. So here, as you all read the sutta, Buddha is talking about happiness, sensual happiness. And he says that there are four types of sensual pleasure, happiness, that a follower of the Buddha can enjoy. First of them is attisukha, happiness of having wealth, ownership. Second, bhogasukha, happiness of enjoying the wealth. Third, ananasukha, happiness of debt-free life, freedom from debt. Fourth, anavajjasukha, happiness of blameless life. Now let's go through these four to understand it a little bit more. Anathapindika is the great support of the Buddha, and he was a millionaire, a very rich Buddhist, a follower of the Buddha. So when this rich millionaire went to see the Buddha, Buddha simply said, there are these four types of happiness. The first is the happiness of having wealth. So Buddha encouraged all his disciples to achieve wealth. Please remember it. Buddha never glorified the poverty. Remember this. Buddha never glorified the poverty. Please do not misunderstand his teachings. He all the way encouraged you to achieve the wealth, but in a particular way. What is that way? And in the discourse itself, he explained it. He says that wealth has to be achieved through energetic striving, amassed by the strength of his arms, earned by the sweat of his brow. Means you must work hard, diligently, if you want to achieve wealth. And not only that, there are certain conditions. What are the conditions? You must achieve the wealth in a righteous way. So when Buddha said that you must achieve the wealth in a righteous way, it means the way of achieving our wealth must fulfill certain criteria. It has to be according to the law and order of a particular country. Wealth is to be achieved legally, not illegally. Wealth has to be achieved in a peaceful way, non-violent way, not by destroying other lives, not by destroying forest, flora and fauna, not by destroying this planet. But we must coexist together. So we must earn wealth in a peaceful way, non-violent way. Buddha, of course, talks about in the discourse on blessings, and he says that engaging in peaceful occupation itself is a great blessing. So wealth is to be achieved through peaceful occupation. Wealth also had to be achieved in such a way that in the process we will not harm anyone, destroy our environment, and it has to be earned in a righteous way, ethical way. So these are the meaning of the words wealth achieved in a righteous way. It means it has to be achieved morally, legally, and peaceful way that we all coexist. So this is where the Buddha encouraged how we can achieve the wealth. So once you achieve the wealth in that way, when you are the owner of such wealth, you feel happy and joyful. And you can experience it. When we have something, you feel happy. The person who has the house, when he thinks, I have a house, he feels ownership, he feels happy, he feels secure. I have a car, I have a house, I have this property, I have this much of money. So when one thinks of the ownership of that, the person feels happy. So this is called happiness of having wealth. Then the Buddha talks about another type of happiness, and this is happiness of enjoying the wealth. Not only you have wealth, but you must enjoy the wealth. So this is another important aspect. So Buddha encouraged us to achieve wealth in a righteous way. Then he encouraged us to spend wealth in a meaningful way. So this is where enjoyment of spending wealth. So how one should spend one's wealth? What is the purpose of having money? Why do you need wealth? You might have many answers to this question, but from the Buddhist point of view, the wealth has only two purposes. What are these two purposes? Wealth is for you to enjoy your life, sensual pleasure. This is one aspect. It means when you have wealth, you can have whatever you want, the material things. You want a computer, smartphone, car, house, swimming pool, whatever you want. So purpose of having wealth is to enjoy your sensual pleasure in a righteous way. There's no harm of gratifying your sensual pleasure in a righteous way, according to the law and order. So this is one purpose of it. The other purpose of it is to make merits. It means to give away for the well-being and happiness of the others. To spend for your wife, to spend for your children, to spend for your parents, to spend for your relatives and friends, to give for charity and pay for tax, and all these are given away. So from the Buddhist point of view, wealth is dattvacha buddhvacha yatanu bhavang anindito saggam upeti thanang. The purpose is to enjoy yourself and to give away to the others. Whatever wealth which is not spent for these two purposes is wasted. And this is what the Buddha says in the discourse itself. He says, when you have wealth, then you will enjoy. Let me find the statement. Okay, a clansman enjoys his wealth and does meritorious deeds. This is what it means. Enjoy his wealth by spending for whatever you want. And doing meritorious action means spending for charitable actions for the others. Some people have wealth, but they do not enjoy wealth. Some people have a lot of wealth, but they look at their bank account and think, I have so much wealth, and they become so happy about it. But they never enjoy spending that wealth. For some people, there is a swimming pool in their residence, and you feel so happy, yes, I have this swimming pool, but he doesn't have time to swim. Some people, they have a beautiful wife at home, very caring and nice wife, very nice children, but he doesn't have time to spend with them. There's no time to go for a dinner. There's no time to chit-chat and have a friendly dialogue. That person is always busy. Some people, they have very luxurious cars, but parked in the office. So they do not travel. Having wealth is important, definitely, but enjoying wealth is also very important. Otherwise, what will happen? Throughout your life, you make money, but since you do not have time to enjoy the money, once you are dead and gone, somebody else will enjoy the money. So Buddha talks about earning in a righteous way and spend in a meaningful way. Third happiness is called happiness of debt-free life. When you are indebted to anyone, whether it is a big amount or a small amount, it is a kind of obligation. It is a kind of stress, a kind of a burden that you are carrying day and night. I still have to pay for this. I still have to pay for my car, pay for my house. But the moment you paid them off, and when you think that I'm not owed to anybody, I'm free from debt, you enjoy a kind of bliss and happiness, a joy. This is called debt-free life. Of course, many people in modern society may not have this. Nevertheless, it is true that if you can be free from any debt, you definitely have this happiness and dignity and pride within you that I'm not indebted to anybody. materially. This also has got another aspect, not only material aspect, that free life is also must be applied to spiritual aspect, since Buddha talks about both material and spiritual development. So what is the debt in the sense of the word spirituality here means we are indebted to our mother and father. As the Buddha pointed out in the suttas, there are two people in this world that we can never repay for what they have done. They are mother and father. They have done a lot for us. So it is the duty of the son or daughter to take care of one's own mother and father. So especially we have the obligation to do that. Suppose if a son or daughter were not to take care of one's mother and father, in that case, that particular son or that particular daughter are indebted spiritually, in the sense of the word here, I'm using the term spiritually. But on the other hand, what I mean, you do not have simply gratefulness. So you are indebted to them in that sense. So debt-free life has to be understood in both ways, a freedom from debt in the material sense of the word, and freedom from debt, that you are free from these obligations, that you have fulfilled your prime duty towards, especially towards parents. The fourth happiness the Buddha talks about here is anavaccha sukha, happiness of blameless life. Now, if you were to earn wealth in an evil, wicked, immoral, unwholesome way, you cannot have this last happiness. Because the last happiness, happiness of blameless life, arise when you think as a human being, throughout my life, I led a dignified human life. I never did anything wrong like killing, stealing, or sexual misconduct, harassment. I did not earn my wealth by destroying these forest and flora and fauna. I did not earn my wealth by killing so many animals or contributing for the harm of the other living creatures. I did not earn this money by selling weapons for the war. I did not earn this money by selling poisons. I did not earn this money by selling drugs. So when you think in that way and you feel so elated and happy, I lived a dignified human life through my speech, actions, and livelihood. I have not done anything unwholesome. When you think of your own purity, your own dignity, and you feel so elated, so happy and joyful of your own character, this is called sila, happiness of your moral conduct. So if in order to have this happiness, of course you must earn the wealth in a righteous way, legal way, and harmonious way, as we discussed earlier. So these are the four types of happiness the Buddha encouraged. Now, if you talk these four together, if you take together, then you can understand Buddha envisaged, he had the plan when he suggests this. He had the plan for the lay people, that lay people grow both materially and spiritually. Spiritually, they are growing because they are holding themselves to sila, moral conduct. And then based on that moral foundation, they make their money. And after making money, of course, they enjoy wealth and do meritorious actions. So eventually, as a result of this way of behavior, you will live a happy life here and now, which is a very successful human life, having achieved both material and spiritual success. Then as a result of doing meritorious action, you will be born in a pleasurable, favorable realm after the death. So of course, as Buddhists, when we behave in that way, and we are also cultivating the spiritual faculties, which is necessary for awakening in time to come. These last two stanzas, poems, are also very important. They emphasize what we discussed here, but nevertheless, it is good to go through them. So here, as it is said, having known the happiness of freedom from debt, one should recall the happiness of ownership. So first of all, you have to be free from debt. Then you will feel so happy that you have wealth and you are not indebted to anyone. Then enjoy the happiness of enjoyment. It means you spend the wealth for your happiness as well as well-being and happiness of the others doing meritorious action. Then mortal then sees things clearly with wisdom. What does it mean? A person who earn the wealth in a righteous way and spend the wealth in a meaningful way, and that person has wisdom also. The reason is here, he is not too attached to wealth. He understands wealth can dwindle away. Wealth is not permanent. Even though I were to run after material wealth while I'm living here, when I die, those things cannot go with me. What can go with me is only merits. So when he understands it, he becomes wise. He can see things clearly. So he is not so engrossed with greed and only possessed, but he also enjoys and spends for the others. This is what it means. A mortal then sees things clearly with wisdom. And the last one, he says, while seeing things clearly, the wise one knows both kinds of happiness. So it means when he understands things are impermanent and I had to be parted and separated from my wealth sooner or later, and then he of course spend wealth in a meaningful way, so then enjoy two types of happiness. What are the two types of happiness here? Now, these four types of happiness divided into two here. First, second, third types of happiness belong to one category. Last happiness belong to another category. So the first three types of happiness means happiness of having wealth, happiness of enjoying wealth, happiness of freedom from debt. All these three are related to material aspects. So this is one type of happiness. The other types of happiness is happiness of blameless conduct. And the Buddha says between these two happiness, the happiness of blameless conduct is more superior. So what is he trying to tell you now here? He's encouraging you go beyond the limit of the material world and achieve the spiritual perfection in time to come. So here this one is directing you to the third goal, which is attainment of enlightenment. So in order to attain enlightenment, of course, we need to have moral conduct. So we need to eventually uproot all the evil, wicked, immoral actions rooted in greed, hatred, and delusion. Once we completely uproot them, and that is the perfect enlightenment. So Buddha is directing us again at the end of the discourse towards the perfection. Okay, I think this is enough as a discussion. We can have a Q&A if you wish.